Right now it's time for Praise This with Tim Luke and Greg Strom, minus Greg this morning. the appraisal guy is the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. You can find them at tqag.com, and we say good morning to Tim this morning. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Marshall. How you doing?
Getting better every day, except this morning for some reason my voice decides it wants to act up. So I'm speaking softly and carrying a small stick and turning my microphone volume up to full level.
There you go.
Why?
So we have to do.
Yeah. So it's. Hey, while I was just talking, it went up to 6 degrees here. I hope it's a lot warmer where you are.
Yeah, we are. Well, it's a little windy, but it is warmer. It's about 64 with a high of about 70 today. So. The last couple of days, we've had some rain and cooler weather. So, but it's, you know, it's a welcome. We don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Well, you know, we just had the Super Bowl between the Rams and the Bengals. And what's interesting is that there's an article in Live Auctioneers on how important now the Super Bowl has become in collecting. Not only people collect programs from every year of the Super Bowl. Somebody collected programs from every year of the Super Bowl, and somebody, I think he averaged $7,000 a program, and Super Bowl's been around for over 50 years, so that's not too bad.
No, that's not.
That's not too bad, but there's also Super Bowl rings, championship rings, jerseys. It's amazing how the Super Bowl itself has separated itself from regular football and sports memorabilia, kind of like what the World Series has done and certain players in baseball.
Correct, correct. And I think that there's this, you know, you have the first thing that came to my mind was Clash of the Titans. It's like, here you have these two teams from the two divisions that are facing each other in this one game to determine the winner of Super Bowl, whatever number it is. And it's, I think that there's a lot of publicity and things that go around the Super Bowl. Like even if it's not the sports memorabilia that you're collecting, the performers that perform during the Super Bowl as well. So every year there's different performers and their costumes or the microphone that they used. And, you know, some of these things have also come up for auction. So I think the Super Bowl itself is probably one of the most watched sporting events, you know, especially you think baseball. Well, over the course of a long time, yes, people watch that. But the Super Bowl game, you have a number of people who don't typically follow football a lot or at all, and we'll end up watching it whether it's for the commercials or for the halftime show, they will end up watching that. And I think that there's more and more it has grown that people are looking to this as a collectible because it isn't multiple games. It is just that one game. So anything from that one thing, you know, it's desirable. But I would like to get the whole box of those Bengals win the Super Bowl hats, because you know they have to make them so that they can put them on right after they win the game. And I guess they destroy those. I'm not sure what they do with those.
Well, there's those, and there's also the newspaper headlines that are printed up in each direction, so the team can hold up their hometown newspaper with if they won the game and the other ones. So you wonder what happened. They have to be under lock and key because you know, like
the, oh, I know.
They, you know that they have they go right into the incinerator. You just know that.
Yes.
I mean that's the last thing in the world that you want as you're a marketer, and the NFL is smart enough, and most players most sports leagues are that smart. But you know, it's also interesting, in February there was a Heritage Auctions had a winter sports card sale. Mm-hmm. And once again, sports card, I mean, Wilt Chamberlain, okay, arguably one of the top three NBA players of all times, if not the top, his 1969 Topps card, $276,000.
Yeah. we're seeing more and more, and then we started to see this, and we started talking about this when the pandemic started, of how sports memorabilia, and especially cards, whether it was baseball cards, football cards, basketball cards, they are taking a major leap. And I think that it's those vintage iconic players that there's a lot of interest for, along with some of the others like Kobe Bryant. His memorabilia has really taken off just because of the circumstances over the past couple of years. Michael Jordan is another one that his rookie card selling for big dollars. I think that it's something that is in the culture. It's something that we all remember as kids. I mean, I remember flipping cards and using a clothespin on my bicycle.
That's exactly right, to make the noise.
That's it. That's it. But, you know, I think that that's something that people relate to. And now they have some disposable income, and now you can't even get close to, I mean, you don't even touch the card. It's all encapsulated.
Hermetically sealed.
Yes.
Well, they also had in this auction a Mickey Mantle card, 1951, a Bowman debut card, $504,000.
Yeah, yeah. And that has continually, even when I was at Christie's, that card was sought after. I mean, that was a hot commodity, is that, and that is one of those, that particular card, that Bowman Mickey Mantle card, is a particular card that collectors, when found in really, really excellent condition, it continues to just go up over time. I mean, we had a couple when I was at Christie's, and we had them in our sports auction, and they did well. But now, when you see $500,000, it's pretty incredible.
And speaking about that, Heritage Auctions has an auction going on right now, a Star Trek auction.
Yeah,
and they have everything from the outfits people wore to notes about what a poster should look like. And some of these prices that are up there right now, and the auction isn't even there, are pretty amazing. It really is, I guess, the entertainment and sports world is a section of upon itself. It's so different than the art and other collectibles and cars and things like that.
Most definitely. And what we always like to say is that each collecting area has a certain personality, or there's certain parameters that go into what they're looking for, how it's presented, the information that is also that goes along with it. Because when you have something like this, and this is very specific, so this is the broader umbrella is entertainment memorabilia, but as you drill down, it is also sci-fi, television, Star Trek, and there's just a lot of people that not only chase this but love it, live it. Comic-Con is a fine example of that, but it really has a whole area of collectors that are just diehard, not only fans but also diehard collectors of these items. And again, you know, it was produced in a very limited quantity. Anything that they can to get themselves closer to that star, that show, that production, this is that always does well. And I know that these things will really perform.
Now, you know, there's another auction that's coming up, and see, this one I don't know, because I know who Douglas Fairbanks Jr. was. You know,
right?
Who Douglas, but yep. There's 55% of the people out there who have no idea who Douglas Fairbanks Jr. was, but their family collection of swords is going up on March 2nd for auction. See, that's something I don't know how well it's going to do.
Right. Well, it's all going to rest in how well. So I think that it's a two-pronged thing. Is getting the word out about, okay, here's what it is in the provenance, but how they tell the story, how it is positioned so that people understand the context, the value, the putting the value in context is this is why they're significant. This is who this individual was. This is why these pieces are desirable and stand out from just anything, you know, any other type of sword or any anything else. It doesn't matter. And I think that's the whole story with memorabilia, is that these memorabilia sales, you do have to tell the story. And it's interesting with someone like Douglas Fairbanks, you know, that's vintage Hollywood. And if you're not familiar with that, you may say, well, wait a minute, you know, who is this? But again, it comes back to being able to tell that story and really establish the value context. It'll be interesting to see how the sale does.
All right, and one final sale that I noted on February 22nd, a Rodin statue is looking to command $400,000. I look at that headline and I say, okay, looking to command, so that means it'll probably sell for $800,000.
That's See, you're starting to learn the lingo.
Looking to command.
the subliminal messaging. And you see, it's an art form. And now once you start watching this, you start to see a trend. And you start to see, oh, wait a minute. Looking to command is, well, and they're hoping. And again, we always like to say the auction estimates are just that. They're estimates. And they're a marketing tool. So they're probably saying the low end of the estimate or the mean of the estimate might be 400,000. So yeah, they may be hoping for 800, and it'll be interesting because the sculpture market, we'll see where these things go, and the desirability, because there's a number of artists that have just continued to increase in not only desirability but also in pricing over the last 3 years. So it'll be interesting if Rodin is in that group.
That headline to me in that press release screams, if you can't afford 400 grand, don't even bother. Stay away.
Stay at home, because you're just not going to win. You're not going to get it, right?
It's pretty amazing.
You're exactly right.
So what's your next week look like?
So it's busy. I'm actually on staying here in Florida, but I have a big estate in Boca Raton. So I'm getting on the road momentarily as soon as we are done and working on this estate. And then it also has another component in Pittsburgh. So we'll be doing that in March. And then a variety of other big projects. I mean, we've just been, a lot of people have been donating items. A lot of appraisals have come through. So we're really working on a variety of different projects with a variety of different asset classes, which is a lot of fun, which I really enjoy.
All right. Well, say hello to Greg for us, and we'll speak to you guys next week.
Will do, will do. You take care, my friend.
Take care.
We'll talk next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tim and Greg, of course, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robinhood Radio. You can find them at tqag.com and also robinhoodradio.com on demand. Go to Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Strom.